Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. We need more love in life. Happy to have Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times taking some time to join the show. Dylan, don't you agree? We just need more love in life. That's all we need.
Yeah, we could probably use, yeah, for sure. Well, especially right now, right? I mean, who are we kidding? We absolutely need that.
Probably wouldn't hurt. You know what I mean? Wouldn't hurt. How are things going? Now, did you get a chance? You get some summer vacation in a little bit? Did you get a chance to drive around? Maybe what is vacation today? Like, I think vacation, I'm going to try and go to Big Bear here pretty soon. I went Sequoia, did some camping out there. Are you getting chances to get out of LA a little bit?
Yeah, we did. You know, I got two young kids and my wife. We went up to Big Bear one day. We've made a couple of trips now, actually, over to Santa Barbara. One of those beaches, a state park, relatively kind of unoccupied. We try to do these things during the weekdays too, just so that the crowds are a little bit less. You don't have to worry about the COVID stuff as much. Yeah, mm-hmm. my parents they're really involved in my kids' lives, and so that's kind of the thing, right? We want to make sure that they're safe and healthy.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Dylan, and I think I was talking a little bit about this with Steve Mason, Mason and Ireland show. We were talking about it yesterday. It's one thing that I would say, just to, a lot of us are confined to our own homes right now. Man, it's nice if you can just even drive along the beach or go out to like you said, Santa Barbara, or I went to Sequoia, or you go out to Big Bear, just to kind of how good do you feel when you just go out and get that fresh air? And especially right now with a lot of the news isn't positive, a lot of different things that are going on. I mean, of course, do it safely, wear your mask. But don't you feel refreshed when you kind of get out and you get some of that fresh air that's coming from the ocean, or it's up in the the Big Bears of the world? And I know for me that's a game changer.
Yeah, for sure. You know, especially again with two young kids, I think it's really unnatural, right, for kids to just be trapped indoors for so long.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously when I think back to like me being in elementary school, right, the summers just kind of felt this time kind of full of adventure, constantly doing things, and in the city where we live, right, pretty much every kid does like swim lessons at the local high school and stuff, and all that's kind of been shut down. And I've kind of noticed too, right, my kids are going a little batty. You know, on one hand, in this case, I'm not a huge, big into, let the kids do too much on the computer guy, but, in this case, it's actually been kind of a saving grace in that, they're able to talk to their friends and their cousins and stuff, over their tablets, whatever. But too much time on the tablet, it isn't too good either, right? They start going down these, mental rabbit holes, and next thing
sure.
you know, they're acting, possessed little demons. So more for anything, just to get them out, right, and let them kind of experience the outdoors. And obviously they love, what kid doesn't love playing at the beach? So, seeing them happy at this point is kind of right? That becomes the priority right now.
Dylan, kids going down a rabbit hole on the iPad, that doesn't have to be kids. That's me every other night. So don't worry. It's not just them. It's not just them, Dylan. Okay. So Dylan, we're here. We're a week away. I just want to get your thoughts real quick. How are you feeling about opening night, Dodgers versus the Giants, the fact that baseball is coming back? And I'm not really referring – I don't want to talk about the actual game yet, but you and I have had a ton of conversations over the last 4-plus months. And, there's been a lot of highs and lows about whether baseball was going to come back. Are they really blowing it at the negotiating table? And then here we are just a week away. How are you feeling about where baseball is and really in relation to COVID-19 and trying to figure this thing out?
Well, you're kind of edging towards excitement, right? I think right now, 2 days feels like an eternity, right? Mm-hmm. Feels like every 2-3 days, we find out something new about, COVID that's kind of scary, or maybe, in some cases, maybe gives you hope about stuff. But, it really kind of has felt, right, just kind of this up and down journey in regards to that. But, you know, now that we are getting a little closer, you kind of start looking ahead a little bit, right? And like, you know, not just the, obviously the Dodgers every year, you know, they're going to be in contention, and you do kind of wonder, you know, how the younger guys like the Walker Buehlers and the Gavin Luxes are going to kind of, you know, right, develop. And, you know, a guy like Corey Seager, who last year was just kind of, you know, really kind of working his way back from Tommy John. Can he go back to being the player he used to be? And, you know, will this be the year, you know, finally, right, Julio Urías, even though he's only 23 years old, it just feels like he's been here forever just because, again, he came onto the scene, you know, so young, right? We already knew who he was when he was 16, 17 years old, and this kind of feels like it's finally going to be his year. So, you know, kind of some of those baseball-like questions are, right? I think we've kind of gone maybe from, I mean, obviously there's still a ton of COVID questions, and they're all completely valid. But I find myself asking myself a little bit more baseball questions, right? And including with the Angels too, right? By the way, right? As horrible as their pitching is, which on a, you know, in a 162 game season will undoubtedly be exploited. You know, maybe they have enough to patch it through through 2 months, and that's a fun lineup, right? That's a really exciting lineup. You got, assuming Mike Trout plays, you're going to have him, Rendon, Shohei Ohtani, Justin Upton, right? You know, and is that a point where, you know, Albert Pujols is, right, just, what, like four home runs away from Willie Mays? And it's maybe the 10th biggest baseball story in town. I mean, there's a lot kind of going on, right? There's a lot to be excited about, I think, in L.A. It's just kind of, it's a matter of just getting there, right?
Dylan Hernandez from the L.A. Times taking some time to join the Sliwa Show. It is a matter of getting there, and I think that's, you know, I've used this term, and I know a lot of people have. Everybody's cautiously optimistic, but sometimes, Dylan, I'm not going to lie, I can't, you know, like I can't hold it. I'm trying to pretend, okay, you know what, let's be cool, calm, and collective. I can't. We haven't had sports in 4+ months. Of course, you know, I'm excited about this Laker run and see what the Lakers are going to accomplish. And then, like you mentioned, this Dodgers season with all the questions coming up, with all the opportunity and you know, one of the heavy favorites to win a World Series. Angels, as you're referring to, too, has an exciting roster. It's very difficult not to get overly excited. And, you know, we don't know. We don't know if in 30 days or 60 days from now something changes. But, man, I'm sure there's a lot of sports base fan bases and, you know, obviously a lot of cities across the country that just can't wait for a week from today and 2 weeks from today, Lakers and Clippers.
Yeah, you know, I'm probably like the one good thing is that soccer hasn't like completely caught on in this country. That is like one thing that kind of has given me pause is watching this, like, right, not only European soccer, but right, this MLS tournament that's going on in Florida. And what we are seeing is, if you watch these games, is that the time off has affected these teams, right? I mean, we do see kind of teams looking really kind of disorganized, right? I mean, European teams are looking like MLS teams, and MLS teams are looking, I mean, these games are just absolute chaos. In some ways, they're fun because it's like no one can defend anymore, right? Kind of the structural integrity of these defenses almost doesn't exist right now. You know, so I am kind of wondering, okay, how is that going to look like? And how does that manifest itself in baseball? How does that manifest itself in basketball, right? Will we be able to notice kind of a drop in
quality
play? And that's, yeah, and that's going to be kind of, you know, because I do think, you know, there have obviously been discussions about, right, and this probably applies more to baseball than any of the other sports, because in basketball, right, they did play most of their season, so I don't think, right, it'll take away anything from their championship, the fact that there was this long break and, right, fewer games played total. But, you know, in baseball's case, really, right, there has been this kind of ongoing debate about, you know, how legitimate will this World Series be? And I think that a lot of it is actually going to come down to, you know, I mean, one thing will be obviously how many players get lost, you know, to the COVID thing, either because they opt out or because they test positive, couldn't play. You know, if a bunch of star players are all of a sudden just kind of sidelined, then I kind of think, oh, yeah, well, you know, people won't really take it that seriously. But the other part of it is the actual baseball itself, right? Will it be clean, right? Will guys look like Major League? I think that's kind of the thing. It has to look Major League, you know, and obviously I think, you know, we're kind of hearing that most of the players kind of managed to keep themselves in shape and, you know, during the downtime. But I do think that that's one thing to kind of wait and see about is, you know, are they going to, how is this going to look, you know? And again, the spring training thing too, it was pretty quick, you know, and if you really kind of think about the exhibition schedule during, like, a normal spring training, You know, guys start off in the first game, I play 3 innings and 4 innings to just kind of get their feet under them, right, kind of gradually. And this whole process has been kind of expedited. So, you know, I think the first couple of weeks are going to be very kind of interesting. And I also kind of wonder, too, like how will people take it if, you know, a team that's not supposed to, the Miami Marlins all of a sudden, right, just come storming out of the gate.
Sure.
Take that division by storm. Like, will that kind of affect the way we perceive these things, right? Is it just like, okay, right, they just, this can't be like the real thing because how could a team like that win? So I think that there, you know, there's still kind of a lot of questions there, but I think you're right. I think, you know, we just kind of want something, especially a sport like baseball that I think is just kind of, we always kind of have in the background, right? It's not necessarily, you know, especially in Los Angeles, baseball is not the type of sport where people make plans like, hey, let's go to the bar to go watch a game or whatever, right? It's not, you know, maybe basketball kind of has that cachet, but baseball doesn't. Baseball is something that's kind of in the background while we're doing something else, right? While you're cooking and you have, you know, the game on the radio in the background and stuff. And I think it's kind of, you know, for a lot of Angelenos, it's part of the soundtrack to life almost in some ways. Right? It's kind of like background music that you don't really notice, but when it's not here, you definitely do notice. So I do think people will welcome back that feeling of normalcy.
Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times joining the Sliwa Show. So Dylan, how many cutouts have you bought? I mean, did you walk into Dodger Stadium and just put a bag full of cash on the table and just say, guys, I'm buying all of these dugout clubhouse seats? What do you think of that idea, by the way? Do you like the idea? Think it will catch on?
I mean, you know, I guess the fact that it's going to charity, it's kind of hard to hate on it, I guess, right? You know, it's not, I guess, the way I would necessarily spend my money, but you know, it's going to a good cause if you can afford it, especially in, you know, during these times of economic uncertainty. You know, again, the money generally seems to be going to good places. Obviously, we've heard a lot about, you know, the Dodgers and their charitable efforts and, right, you know, the youth fields that they build and maintain and stuff. So, you know, again, not my cup of tea, but if you, you know, if that's your thing, go for it. And, you know, again, it's going to a good cause.
Yeah, I think that you're 100% right on that. Just the cause is what it comes down to. It's going to the Dodgers Foundation. So obviously from that front, that's exactly what you want to see. But this is, you know, Dylan, this is, I think, going to be – this is one of the things I'm most intrigued about with all sports. There's going to be new ideas we've never seen before. And you know how they say no idea is a bad idea? Sometimes there's some bad ideas. It is what it is. It's all good. But here's the reality. Reality is I don't know what I'm going to expect from baseball – as the season progresses and different ideas to make the fan experience. And I'm talking about fan experience. I'm talking about the fan from home, right? Where there's no, this is no longer have anything to do. All those antics and events and sponsorships that would go on at stadium. And those were primarily focused on all the fans that were there. Now all that shifts to that TV viewing experience. Yesterday I was got a chance to watch some of that inter squad game. My show was going at the same time, but just during commercial breaks, and it was on in the background. Did you like the piping in the noise and the organ playing? Did it make it feel a little bit more authentic, or not yeah, authentic? What you're accustomed to?
It's better than silence, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can't have silence. I think, you know. And I a couple of days ago I did ask Joe Maddon, right? Say there are no fans in the stands and, you know, you record the last out of the World Series, right? And, you know, year after year, we kind of see the usual scene is pitcher jumps in a catcher's arm or catcher jumps in a pitcher's arms, and then everybody kind of, right, piles in around them. You know, will that happen with an empty stadium? I'm not so sure, you know. I do think that the fake crowd noise will help that a little bit because it'll just be, like, slightly less weird. But, yeah, that part is going to be different, you know. And I think that what's going to be interesting, too, I think, you know, the other day, you know, maybe it was last week, Shohei Ohtani mentioned something about that, you know, is that, you know, it's kind of weird because he on the surface appears to be, right, he's not a very emotional guy, right? Every now and then if he gets, like, a big strikeout as a pitcher or something, you know, you kind of see him pump his fist. But he's generally a pretty low-key guy. And, you know, he was talking about how, yeah, I'm not really sure if I'm going to, right, the way the tension builds is going to be different, you know, and I'm kind of not sure if I'm going to be able to kind of perform the way I do, you know, with, you know, when it's like a normal game, right?
Sure.
So, That is going to be, I think, really kind of interesting. And conversely, there are probably some guys out there, you know,
that will thrive.
Yeah, right. You know, who have like stage fright and stuff, and are great practice players, and you know, maybe those guys come out and have career years. So, yeah, I think there are going to be a lot of kind of factors here that, you know, and obviously over the course of the season, my guess is there are going to be some things that even pop up that we can't even imagine right now. You know, that are going to kind of affect who wins and who doesn't and stuff. And so, yeah, I think there are going to be a lot of kind of interesting stories to follow. You know, and again, it's going to come down at the end of the day, you know, you can make this like a TV friendly product and all that kind of stuff. But again, I think at the end of the day, it really does come down to, you know, the product itself, right? Is that, you know, while I would say maybe, I don't know, 50%, maybe even more could probably watch anything, right? The truth is, right, if you put out a high school game and present it properly, they could probably watch. But, you know, I think diligent fans are going to be kind of really looking for, again, major league quality stuff, you know, and the unexpected drama of the games and all that type of stuff, right? And kind of what we love about sports. So, yeah, you know, I think the players have, you know, in some ways there's a huge challenge for them. You know, they're going to be asked to deliver, again, really high level product under extremely unusual circumstances. And, you know, now here's the thing, right, is that these are mentally also, right, not just physically the most gifted people, but I would argue some of the mentally the most tough people in sports, right? I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, the reason you see college teams, right, and, you know, the NCAA tournament, the reason it's so great is because a lot of these guys, right, they don't have the mental strength to hold a 20-point lead, you know, whereas in the NBA, like, usually, right, these guys kind of, right, you have a big lead like that, for the most part, these things kind of hold up, right? So the mentality part of it, I think, is really going to be, you know, put to the test. And, you know, if you watch carefully, you know, it'll be a real, real showcase for that element of the game.
Dylan, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for doing this. I know you got the family, you got the kids, but, you know, put some time aside to be a part of the show. I appreciate it as always, all right?
No, thank you so much.
All right, that's Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times. I want to stay with something Dylan's mentioning there, because it's like there's been this evolution over the last 4 months, and every month we're getting closer to – we're just naturally talking about something different. The first couple of months, all we talked about was COVID-19. Are we ever going to get sports back again? How long is it going to be till we get sports? But now that we're getting to this point where we're actually talking about the game, I thought a point Dylan mentioned about the quality of the game. That's going to be the big question. I want to hit on that when we come back. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So I was looking at the Dodger National, their TV schedule. So obviously next week, Dodgers, this is coming off a great conversation about the Dodgers with Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times. Dodgers next Thursday, nationally televised. On that Saturday, July 25th, they'll be on Fox. On Sunday, they'll be on ESPN. A couple days later, they'll be on FS1 against the Astros. I mean, they got a lot of nationally televised games, especially for only 60 games. But that's what happens when you got the greatest chance to win the World Series, and you're obviously one of the big-time favorites. So I thought something that was interesting from Dylan Hernandez that he mentioned is, what's the quality going to be like? What's the quality of baseball going to be when these players come back? What's the quality of the NBA, all these players? 4+ months these guys were off, right in the, you know, 80% through the season. This obviously has never happened before. So there's a lot of question about the quality that we're going to get back. We want to get games back. We want to get as many games back as possible. We want to finish the NBA season. We will take 60 games for baseball, but the reality is I think most fans were looking for 80, 81, 100 games, something along those lines, but 60 is what we're left with. 60 is what we'll get. ESPN NBA reporter Malika Andrews was on Golic and Weigel. By the way, can I say this about Malika Andrews? She has been on TV so much these last couple weeks, so kudos to her for really being one of the first reporters, definitely for ESPN, to be inside of the bubble. And damn, is she all over the place in there and doing a fantastic job. So this goes on the conversation about the quality of play. So here's Malika. The basketball play is slowly improving as we get closer to this bubble starting.
There's a range, right? You have Giannis Antetokounmpo after one of the Bucks' recent practices being, I would say, a little hard on himself, saying that he really felt like he did not play well at all. But we all know that Giannis has an incredibly high standard for himself. And then you have folks like Victor Oladipo who's saying, you know, these practices have finally given me the ability to get my legs under me to the point that I may even feel comfortable playing this season, even though I ruled myself out a couple of weeks ago. And then you have folks like Kemba Walker. I was at the Celtics practice yesterday and he was sitting on the side because right now, Brad Stevens said he's on a plan where it's every other day he's practicing and he'd just done an incredibly hard workout the day before. So there's definitely variance to the levels of basketball that's happening, but it's slowly but surely improving. And that's what the scrimmages are for, to kind of get those basketball legs back underneath guys.
So one of the things that I complimented the NBA on, I felt like they've given enough time for these NBA players to come back. When I say enough time, what I'm really referring to is by the time the playoffs start, first round doesn't start till August 18th. Lakers got to that bubble on July 9th. I know some of these team practice facilities were open before then, so a lot of these players can keep their endurance and so forth. I don't know what the quality of play is going to be like. Isn't this kind of part of the entire intrigue of all these sports? We have no idea what to expect, and that's part of the intrigue. I know what I want. I want great quality basketball. I want everybody to be safe. I want the TV experience to be fantastic. I want COVID-19 cases to drop. I want, everybody wants the same thing. But that is part of, I think, the allure of where we're sitting with sports. I don't know what to expect tomorrow. I really don't. And I think if there's one thing that I've learned during this entire quarantine is none of us really know what to expect. And whatever we're thinking or expecting eventually becomes irrelevant. Okay, we got halftime coming up next. We got a lot of great topics to get into. Curtis, you got a plug you got there? Or tell me if you have something you want to promote.
Yeah, sure. Coming up next, we'll talk about someone's retirement that's hit us the hardest.
Okay.
We'll kind of discuss that. It could be anything.
Okay. I got something that is around road trips, taking road trips. So both you and Jesse, keep that in mind. We got that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fellas, hopefully you guys are having a nice, what's today, Thursday night?
Today is Thursday. Yes, it is.
Got to tell you, man, I say this and I know this is a broken record. Fellas, it's here. Like, we're about to get back into sports. And for it being this long that we haven't watched, when I say live sports, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed watching MLS this week. I enjoyed watching LAFC. Galaxy was on as well. It's great to just see live sports, but now you're getting closer to the sports that, you're most passionate about. A week from today, right now, Dodgers and Giants are playing, and Lakers are in the middle of a scrimmage, or I think their scrimmage would have been earlier. Kind of a trip. It's going to be weird to see sports coming back and these games actually count again.
You know what? It's not even that. Live sports, because yes, MLS is back, but it's, we were in the middle of the NBA season. For the Lakers, they just came off that incredible weekend with back-to-back wins. Sure. Against the Bucks and the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was just rolling right. Spring training was at the door. Dodgers had Mookie Betts. We're waiting. So, you know, not taking anything away from MLS or anything, but for the Dodgers and the Lakers, the fans were excited. I was excited. So
and those are the big sports. Those are the big sports, right? Like there, if there's a ranking, and I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, Rams fans and I'm sure SC, UCLA fans that are just kind of have their hands on their head. Like they have no idea if they're going to watch football this year. Well, that's kind of how it was right in the beginning of the pandemic or right when, you know, right when sports canceled. We didn't know, will there be baseball this year? Will there be NBA this year? And those are the sports that we're going to start having some of those conversations on. But yeah, it's crazy to be here, but I know I'm excited. I know you guys are excited as well. Jess, why don't you get things started? What do you got there?
All right, so we're going to go into the bubble for halftime. Mm-hmm. There was an article today at ESPN written by, it doesn't say, it was just ESPN.com. So I'm guessing several people had a hand in it.
Contributed, right.
Yes, about unique items players brought into the bubble. And this article specifically names Miles Leonard from the Heat, Miles Turner from the Pacers, Gorgon Dragic from the Heat, and Taco Fall from the Boston Celtics. The one thing that all these guys had in common was they all brought video game system, whether it's a PC, whether it's a PS4.
Video game sounds like it's incredibly big for a lot of these players. Sounds like a lot of these players play video games.
I'm sure maybe
And how else are you going to kill 70, time if you're in your hotel? How else are you going to kill time in the hotel?
And you know what? Video game consoles today double as, like, you know, entertainment centers. Not only can you play video games, you can stream Netflix, you can stream YouTube, you can use it as a Blu-ray DVD player. So, you know.
But if I'm right, they're also playing with friends, right? Like, they're playing with their buddies, they're playing with other teammates. So, it's also, it's a way to kill time, but also you're with your people without being with your people.
Mm-hmm. Correct. That's how me and all my friends have managed to keep in touch is we find times where we either play Madden or we play Call of Duty.
Okay.
So, but, you know, each one of these guys kind of brought a unique thing. Miles Leonard from the Heat brought a suitcase of his favorite protein bar called Level. Miles Turner brought in a unbuilt Lego set, a Star Wars Lego set.
Okay.
Dragic was probably the most kind of normal one, and just bringing in, like, you know, he said that he brought in his good luck charm, which is a wooden cross. He brought in his wife packed a UV LED light for sanitizing the room, which is smart. And then you have Taco Fall, who basically everything in his room is just his sliders, his court shoes, and his PS4, because all he needs is his PS4 and he feels like home.
That's it. He's got what he needs.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my question to you guys is, you know, what's one unique thing that you would take with you? Like, you
into
know,
the bubble.
Into the one unique thing. So, you know, not like an game console or something like that. Something like, you know, Miles Turner, another thing that he brought in was puzzles. Mm-hmm. He brought in puzzles and like a Lego set.
Like I like that. Yeah, you can kind of keep yourself busy with some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Curtis, you got something in mind? What's something you take into the bubble?
I'm totally blanking right now. I'm kind of racking my mind trying to think because it's like pretty simple. Like,
into
you know?
The bubble. Yeah, because here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'll just say this. So when it comes to – I'll use this as an example. If I'm going to go on like a long flight, right, as long as I got my laptop, as long as I got, you know, my phone, my headphones, like I feel like – just having those items, you pretty much have everything. You could put any game that you want, you know, on your phone. You could put any game that you want, a podcast, like all that stuff. So I'm just trying to think.
Taco Fall approach.
The only thing I could really think of is, I don't know, a couple good books that you want to read. But even those, it's not like you don't have access to that on, you know, a Kindle or on
I have a Kindle that has
audio
all my books
or any of that. What are you taking, Jess? You got something you're taking other than a console?
You know what? Other than a console, I think I would buy a Lego set because the one that Miles Turner's taking, it's not like a regular set. So It's a replica of a spaceship from Star Wars, the Y-Wing, for people who know Star Wars. It is a Y-Wing, and it's big. It's like maybe 2,000-3,000 pieces. So it's not something that's going to take you maybe, you know, like 2-3 hours. This is going to take you maybe two or three two-hour sessions to complete the whole thing. Mm. So that's something that can consume a lot. And I remember doing Legos a bunch growing up, and they were always fun. Always enjoyed, you know, doing that. But
puzzles is a good idea. I like the puzzles idea too. And I don't even my sister used to always do puzzles. I don't do puzzles, but I know that that's one way to that kind of stimulate the mind and keep yourself busy.
Oh, definitely.
Curtis, you come up with something or no?
I mean, I would say usually the only other go-to I was like bring a thing of cards, but I mean, I think it's kind of different now because you can't really sit next to each other. So
can't play with anybody.
I mean, if you bring your own deck of cards, you're going to have to throw it away at the end of the game.
That's right. That's one of the NBA rules. All right, Curtis, what do you got?
All right. So I'm kind of mixed feelings on this. We've talked about music plenty of times before. But,
okay.
My favorite rapper, I know we've talked about this, my favorite rapper is Logic. So he's mm-hmm. my age. He's like 6 months older than me. And today he announced, you know, next week he's dropping a new album. And he's retiring after that from music. And it's hard to believe that only because we've had so many false positives with like people saying they're retiring and changing their minds and they come back.
That's all it is.
Conor McGregor's been retired twice and MJ didn't come back. You know, MJ came back. So I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it, but I was just kind of thinking about, you know, those really important people like in your life to you that, you know, that have retired, you know, which one, you know, because if this is real, this one's pretty heavy just because like I have so many connections with a couple of my buddies and it's with this music too. So it's just, you know, kind of sad, but just kind of reflecting. Just want to see if there's a specific retirement. It could be anything that kind of, you know, touched you guys.
I think I got one. You know who was the absolute man and was, I think in his prime, if I remember, but Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders retired, I think, at 31 years old. Right around 31. And he was such a unique – I mean, look, I know it was before your time, and even for me – you know, I was really young when he was around, and I think he announced his retirement right before 2000, I think 1999, something along those lines. But one of the things with Barry Sanders, he was so explosive and it was so exciting to watch. So when a player like that is, you know, you could say almost at the peak of their career and then just stops playing on a dime, I kind of threw everybody. Remember, Andrew Luck, when Andrew Luck decided to stop, that was more of an absolute shocker. It's not like I had any ties with the Colts or I have any ties with the Detroit Lions, you know, when I say Barry Sanders. But greats like that that are at the top of their game and then decide to just stop, Barry Sanders, I think, sticks out to me. Jess, you got one that sticks out?
Remember when he did that same kind of thing that Andrew Luck did? That's another one I think of, just someone very young that just decides, hey, I'm good. I don't know.
When who did? Luke
Kuechly, the Panthers.
Oh, yeah.
Longtime linebacker.
Yeah, that was definitely a shocker. But if you look at the recent, you know, retirements, I can name another linebacker. Patrick Willis retired, you know, the very prime and peak of his career. And, you know, that 49ers team was coming off.
And you're a 49er fan, so that's going
to hit
you differently.
Yeah, 2 years off for Super Bowl.
And that's going to hit you differently, right?
He was at the top of his game. He was the best linebacker in the NFL, and he was the head of that defense, the heart and soul of that defense. It was a shocker, and I had hoped
How about
that
Calvin
was
Johnson?
Maybe a preseason. Yeah, that's another Calvin one. I never would have thought. He was a beast, one of my favorite receivers, and just for him to be like, nah, I'm good. But it just shows that, you know, a lot of players are being aware
Football is a little – That's different, right? Like the way these players, even Gronkowski when he retired, but now obviously he's back. But like that's a sport where these players, it's okay to kind of think twice. I mean, I can name other players but some of them are injuries. Like Brandon Roy was only 29 when he retired, but he couldn't play anymore. I mean, his knees were pretty much given up. So yeah, I would say Barry Sanders was the player where it's like, man, if there's one guy that you wanted to still see in the league, It was definitely him. Now, Jordan is a whole different element, but Jordan ended up coming back. But of course, Jordan is the biggest. That was when he was at the top of his game in 1998. He won 6 championships in 8 years and then decided, okay, I'm done. That will probably always be the biggest shocker. Magic, when he had to retire because of, you know, obviously contracted HIV. So it was, there's been some big stars, but the only reason why I didn't throw Magic and Jordan in there is because they eventually came back.
Yeah, of course, you know, you want to talk, be hard to retire when people actually stay retired. I mean, we don't talk the same about Barry Sanders, about Calvin Johnson, Patrick Willis, Andrew Luck, without, it's because they retired at such a young age, and, you know, they're, odds are that none of them are coming back. I mean, you can maybe make a case for Luck, but I don't think he's coming back.
But isn't that funny when we say, you know, somebody retired, or, you know, when we talk about NBA and somebody's 35 years old and, you know, LeBron's 35 and we say, oh, he's getting old. Like, is that just kind of funny to say?
Oh, I know. LeBron's
getting old at 35. Or when a player decides to retire and he's 38 or 37 or 36, the word retire for that age, it's like, what? What are you talking about? What do you mean he's retiring?
The older I get, the more I envy that, because I'm like, man, if I can retire at 35, I'm just a couple years from 35. If I could say I retired that age, oh, it'd be great. But
well, I already did something wrong because I'm 37. I'm not retired yet. So
you're all right.
I don't see myself. I'm not good with that.
You're on the slope, but you're still in your prime. But it's just on the downhill slope. You're good.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not good at that. Like, I could already see myself when I'm 65 being like, yeah, I'm not stopping. Like, there's certain people I like to keep busy. So when I don't have something to do, it's when I'm most uncomfortable. It's when I'm busy that's how I'm wired. And I'm sure the two of you are probably like that as well. But, yeah, I probably will be going for a while. So
I don't think I've had like a kind of calm period since my, the year after I graduated high school.
Well, you have your other job too, so every time Curtis and I are like, "Yeah, we're gonna go have a good weekend."
I've always had it's either been multiple jobs or it's been school and work. You know, there's been short breaks in between there where, you know, I've had one, but for the most part, I've always had work and school or multiple jobs. So I ain't complaining, but it's definitely, you know, we talk about having
but
time
it's a good
for this
thing.
And free
I'm
time.
I'm telling you, it's
like,
a good
I remember
thing.
That. Oh yeah, I know it's a good thing.
It's a good thing to have it that way, and
it is.
You know, I know we all know this, but also under this climate, like, it is crazy how many people have lost their jobs or whatever the case is. So I know we're all, you know, obviously fortunate to be in the spot that we're in. Let me keep going here. So I don't know if you guys have read about some of the restrictions right now. So I'm going to give as an example. So if you wanted to travel right now to New York, you can, but the state of New York is then going to require a 14-day quarantine, right? So most people are obviously not going to be traveling to states that have this type of requirement. So I'm assuming that road trips must be more popular at this time, just because you're not getting on a plane. You're obviously in the comfort of your own car. You can go and properly social distance. You're with loved ones that you're with anyways. So with all that being said, I got two questions for the both of you. Curtis, I'm going to start with you. Number one, do you like road trips? Are you a guy that is okay with being in the car for 10 hours, 12 hours, or maybe even longer than that? Do you like road trips, or are you not a fan?
I do, just because, I mean, for the longest time, even before here, I've been like, I've always had some sort of commute for something, and it's always been longer than the average person's like just regular commute. So it's something,
especially with the traffic. I remember you were saying in the beginning how much quicker you were getting to the office in the beginning of the quarantine, but you kept kind of telling us, yeah, traffic's getting a little worse, You sometimes are on the road for an hour and a half at times just to get into work.
Yeah, and even before this, you know, me living pretty much, you know, living Ventura pretty far away, 70 miles away, even when I went to school to the Valley, even, you know, before that,
still drive.
I worked at Disneyland for a couple years. Like, I've always had a commute. And
from Ventura to Disneyland?
Ooh, it was
that's
3 hours.
A drive. Ooh.
3 hours. But
so what's your longest road trip you've gone on, and where'd you go?
I think probably just like I've driven to Colorado because my buddy One of my buddies is still out there. He works at a seasonal ski resort out there. So
how long is that trip?
It's like a day and a half if I drove straight, which I usually do. I don't know. I enjoy driving just because for me, that's
Kike
kind of
just
life.
Hit a grand slam in the fifth inning.
Is that right? All right, little.
Just after right now.
Well, Dodgers update right there. Inter-squad Dodgers versus Dodgers.
That's the first home run I've seen in months.
Didn't Mookie hit one a couple days ago, too? Or was it yesterday?
He did, but I wasn't watching that game. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that highlight specifically. Like, I'm just talking about like watching live. This is the first home run I've seen in months. He's trying to pump up the crowd.
That's awesome.
This is so weird. I wish I was there.
They got to do it. Okay, so Curtis, keep going. So you go to Colorado. It took, you said, like a day and a half, and you're good. You're a fan of the road trips.
I mobbed straight. I didn't even really – I mean, I stopped for snacks and gas or whatever, but
yeah.
That's – I don't know. For me, driving's just like – you know, for me, it's kind of my, like, thinking
therapeutic
time kind
in
of
a
thing,
way.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
I guess
that's
you what's the longest road trip you've gone on, and are you a fan of road trips?
I love road trips. I was thinking of going one this weekend. I just don't really know where since everything's kind of closed. But I would go on road trips all the time to Mexico with my family. And I would go to like mid kind of northern central Mexico. It's called Chihuahua. That's where my mom and dad are from. And it's about two and a half days.
Wow. Kind of
yeah. So it's, you know, from here we drive through Arizona, through New Mexico, through Texas, go through El Paso, and then from El Paso straight down past Juarez into Chihuahua, and it's about from there 2.5-3 hour drive.
You know what I've always wanted to do? I've always wanted to drive down Baja California and just go, you know, and stop wherever I want to stop. Obviously, I have a location I want to go to. I was mentioning Mason Island yesterday, La Paz, but I think you actually have to fly there, but just in general, driving down Baja California, for somebody who grew up in San Diego, I know obviously both of you grew up in L.A., doesn't it seem like – have you guys ever done that, by the way? Doesn't it seem like that's something we should all do because it's right here, right next to us?
Well, I would do that, but I would actually want to do the opposite. I would actually want to drive up the coast of California, like up going the side of Washington and Oregon.
No question about it.
That's what I think I'd be more interested in.
Great road trip.
I had a friend who did that once, and he said that it's definitely one of the things you got to do because it's just so amazing. He spent the weekend just driving.
This is the time to go road tripping. I'm telling you, this is the time to go road tripping. Like if we need to, you know, do things the smart way. There's a lot of people that are weary about getting on planes right now. There's states that will make you quarantine for 14 days if you fly there. This is – if there's ever a time to do some road trip, and now's the time. And I'll tell – this is what it comes down to. What it comes down to for me, you got to be with the right person, right? Like if you're tripping and it's the – you know, it's your girl or it's a buddy of yours or whatever
people
the case is.
It definitely makes a difference.
That is everything. And here's the other thing. They have to enjoy the road trip too. You know, like it can't be somebody – can't be in a rush. You can't be stressed out because you're trying to get here.
Are you there yet?
Just gotta be,
are you there yet?
Exactly.
There yet?
It's just got to be like part of the process of it all.
Yeah.
But
there's also like different archetypes of people. You ever notice that on road trip? You know, there's people that like to stop and kind of do stuff on the way. There's some people that don't like stopping at all and just keep driving until we get to whatever.
My brother.
There's different types of, you know.
My brother is
stop along
the way. One of those people.
I'm a stopper.
My brother's like, nope, we are leaving at this time. We're getting there around this time. If you need to go pee, we're stopping here, here, and here. Other than that, we are on the road. Don't tell me to stop. We're not looking anywhere. We're going straight from point A to point B.
Yeah, I can't live with that.
Well, I'll say that, you know, one of the cool things with when you are driving, don't get me wrong, I want to get to my destination. But there are definitely things, like if they're interesting things, you know what I love doing? When they have like those fresh fruit stands and just stopping by and getting some good food, you know, obviously some of the fruits or nuts or things along those lines, like little things like that, that you're not going to do when your day to day is you're just driving from point A to point B. Okay, so we're all in agreement. Road tripping is that's the way to do it.
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so Jalen Rose was on GetUp. And he was having, you know, it's interesting. We've been throwing this term around snitching very loosely. And Jalen Rose was not a fan of it. And whether we use that term or we don't, You know, that's not we'll kind of get a chance to listen to why he's not crazy about people using that term. But the idea and the concept of players obviously following the rules, that's been a big topic. Plus, Charles Barkley gave a prediction. It included the Los Angeles Lakers. Got to get into that when we come back. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. So I'll play that when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliver Show on 710 ESPN. All right, so we've heard Charles Barkley have plenty of opinions. And one of the things that makes Charles Barkley so great, he's brutally honest, doesn't care what people thinks or what people think. And he made a prediction. Curtis, by the way, do you have this? Because I think it was on – I think Funches had it for Mason Ireland. He made a prediction.
It's pretty short, so we'll be able to react to it pretty quickly.
So real quick, we know that the Lakers obviously sitting in the number one spot, we're not sure who they're going to play, number eight seed. I have kind of gone and I continue to make mention of this. I think Portland gets in. I think it's going to be the Lakers versus the Blazers. And I think it'll be a decent series. But, of course, you know, Lakers will take care of business against the Portland Trailblazers. Here's what Barkley thinks in the first round.
I'm going to tell you this. If the Portland Trailblazers get in the playoffs, they will beat the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round.
Let's play it one more time. Just want to make sure I understood what he said.
I'm going to tell you this. If the Portland Trailblazers get in the playoffs, they will beat the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round.
So this is – let me analyze Barkley here real quick.
Something about that didn't sound right.
He's grinning, right? So Barkley is – he definitely has a facial expression when he's doing it. And I love Barkley. I don't have to agree with his opinion all the time, but I really do. I enjoy – I mean, inside the NBA with him, Shaq, Kenny, you know, Ernie, it's one of the best shows on sports, well, at least when it goes to covering sports. But what the hell is he talking about? You know, I think that's one of those where you hear Barkley, and I'm like, Charles, you trying to get some – are you trying to just get some publicity here? Are you trying to just get some love here? Are you just trying to get some attention here? And we're a week away from basketball starting. I take none of what he said serious. I really don't. Barkley has been very active. He was on ESPN Radio a little bit earlier today. He said the title will be worth a chip and a half if the players don't get sick. I'll let him explain it because I know this has been a lot of conversation. This has been a big conversation for a lot of people about the asterisk talk and all that stuff comes with trying to finish out the season. Here's Barkley.
If everybody's healthy, I think it will be elevated because they're going through a lot of crap in a tough situation. But listen, if everybody's sick with the virus, and the Sacramento Kings and the New York Knicks win the championship, you damn right it's tainted. If everybody's healthy, they should get a chip and a half. But if we end up with the Knicks against the Suns and the Sacramento Kings, and they win the championship, and because everybody was sick, yes, it's tainted.
Charles, the Knicks are not in the bubble. The Knicks haven't been in any postseason or playoff in a pretty damn long time. And pretty sure they're not going to have an opportunity to win. I get what he's saying. I understand what he's saying. At the end of the day, I don't know what – when people have a comment like that, when they say it's tainted, well, so what do we do then? You know, like I don't understand what the alternative is for the leagues. We got to try and make this happen. We got to try to play. We don't have to, but I'm saying obviously the league is trying to. They're spending $170 million to put themselves in a position that they can finish out this season. But I cannot tell you how much I just don't care for the asterisk talk anymore. The predicament is the predicament. The fact that we get an opportunity 2 weeks from now to see basketball restart again, we should compliment where they are. And the fact that the players have, you know, agreed along with the NBA, and I know this isn't volunteer work, they're all getting paid down there, but the fact that everybody is figuring this thing out together for the NBA. Let whatever play out, play out. If the Lakers win an NBA championship, I'm going to be as proud of that 17th NBA championship as I am with any championship the Lakers have ever had. And you know what? If the Rockets end up winning it, and if some players end up getting, you know, hopefully this obviously doesn't happen, but they have to quarantine because they got COVID-19, I think this is what we got to be prepared for. I don't want to be one of those that, you know, turns around if the season gets done and says, ah, well, that one didn't count. Or, you know what, they played, the fact that they stopped for 4 months and then now restarted again, this one doesn't count. Or this player went out and all of a sudden that team was eliminated because of the, you know, the 2 week quarantine or whatever the case is. These are the circumstances. And if a player doesn't want to play or a team didn't want to, you know, participate, it's like everybody understands what's happening. Would it be very, very unfortunate if a player quarantined for 2 weeks and that player was a star player and now that team doesn't have a chance to win a championship? Of course it would. I'm not saying that it wouldn't, but I'm also not going to every single opportunity stand back there and say, well, this doesn't count. And that it only counts if this happens and that happens. I think we're going to be playing that game for a long time. Okay, I want to stay on the NBA for a quick second. So I did mention Jalen Rose and his reaction to calling it snitching. Let's let Jalen Rose explain what he's referring to, because he says people need to stop calling it that. Here's Jalen Rose on GetUp.
And I just wanted to use this as a teachable moment, because the term snitching continues to be used. And it's being used in the wrong connotation and used incorrectly. Mm. Snitching is a street lingo that relates to crime. These are professionals and multimillionaires at work. So therefore, if they're doing something unethical, the person that calls the line is a whistleblower.
He's got a point. And actually, I'm good with somebody educating me. Whistleblower is the right way to describe it. I know that the term got snitch. That got hot pretty quick, and everybody started using that term. But I don't care what you call it. Not that I don't care what you call it, but let's just use the term whistleblower. Let's just say that's the term. You know, one of the things I was doing with Kirk Morrison yesterday, who comes on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and you guys know how much I love working with Kirk. One of the things I was telling Kirk, I'm like, look, I know we're joking around. We're talking about which players do you think would use the hotline, would call. And we joked around. James Harden, we thought, would be one. Chris Paul would definitely be a player. Patrick Beverley, I told him, I think Pat Bev is the first one to call if it's a Los Angeles Laker. But what I tried taking out of that conversation, I made it also, I got serious about it. What I was trying to tell Kirk is, this isn't something to joke around about. I mean, these players do have to take this serious. I saw in an article earlier today in the LA Times, Dwight Howard, Montrezl Harrell, among those critical of this NBA whistleblower hotline, if you want to call it, right? And they're not the only players. You've heard Rudy Gobert talk about it. You've heard other players. I think Ja Morant had a statement about it. What it comes down to for me is, it's really actually very simple. These players do have to police themselves. These players do have to make sure that the rules that the NBA are putting in place, NBA is not putting these rules in place for the hell of it. They're not doing it because they're bored. They're doing it for a reason. There's a reason why they're asking players to follow all these guidelines, because one mistake could completely shut down the NBA. Don't think that it can't. The NBA, I love what Tim Bontemps was saying a little bit earlier, had him on around 7:30, and we're talking about the NBA and we're talking about the restart and everything else. He said, Al, the next 1 to 2 weeks are critical for the NBA. They're critical because they've had one player so far test positive inside of the bubble, is what he was explaining to me, and that was Beasley, who was, you know, obviously coming in with the Brooklyn Nets, and we know how many players that they've lost in this process, and they're going to have a ton of players they're going to play in this bubble that are going to be bench players or players like Jamal Crawford that just came in simply for another opportunity. But one of the things he said, the next 1 to 2 weeks are so critical for the NBA. If what's happened so far, where everything has kind of gone, I would say, as good as it can possibly go, and you compare that to what happened with MLS, where literally two of the 26 teams that were in the tournament drop out, all of a sudden now the NBA puts themselves in a position where if they keep the COVID-19 cases as limited as possible, make sure the virus isn't in the bubble. That's the only thing I guarantee you the league is paying attention to right now. And if the players don't take it serious and you want to call it a whistleblower, a snitch hotline, whatever you want to call it, at the end of the day, they should take it serious. Because if they take it serious, that increases the chances of us actually finishing this season. I got one more that I want to play. So ESPN NBA reporter Malika Andrews on Golic and Wingo. Earlier we played a clip with Malika that talked about the quality of basketball play. It's slowly improving. Here's Malika seconding, backing up, I guess you can say, Jalen Rose's point on how to properly call this hotline.
You know, I mean, you hear Rudy Gobert saying that he thinks that it's just a little bit petty and he doesn't really expect to be using it. You hear Dante DiVincenzo with the Bucks saying he understands why it's there. He thinks it's a necessity, but he doesn't really see himself using it. And then you got Doc Rivers out here wild and saying that he's going to be calling it on every team until the Clippers are the only one left. But in all seriousness, I mean, there are signs that are posted all around campus that say, if you see someone who is committing some sort of violation, this is the number that you can call. And also on the back of credentials for every media member, every player, every coach, there is a barcode you can scan in the app to report a violation. And to be honest, we need to retire. I agree with what Jalen said on Get Up this morning. We need to retire. It's called the snitch line because this line is put in place to report people not wearing a mask. I know I'm not wearing one right now, but there is nobody else around me and I am outside. I've seen people inside who aren't socially distancing, who aren't wearing a mask. And what in a power imbalance, who is going to walk up to a player who makes significantly more than them, who is in a significant position of power over them and say, hey, you need to follow the rules for all of our safety. It's safer to do it anonymously.
All right, that's Malika Andrews right there. I'm with it. I mentioned this, and I know Mario was joking around and telling Kirk, I'll turn his ass in. And I say it joking around in the sense that the whole concept has been made, it's kind of been comical to talk about it. The reality is, it's not a comedy show. It is serious. And I do hope they follow the rules. And I hope these players are policing themselves to make sure that they abide by some of those rules so we could try and get through the season. Scottie Pippen was on the jump. And I want to spend a little time on this talking about Anthony Davis. Because I've said this a few times that AD is such an amazing basketball player. This top 50 players in the bubble, he was slotted at number 5. By the way, they put LeBron at number 1. How great is that? Finally, I feel like every time I see these rankings, LeBron's always second or he's third. And I see that a lot of times with the Lakers as well. But they put LeBron as the number one player going into that bubble, the most impactful player. It's exactly where he should be. But Anthony Davis was number 5. And I don't care about the rankings. That's not that important. But I've said that this upcoming playoffs – and this was before the quarantine, was so important, is going to be so important for Anthony Davis. Scottie Pippen was on the jump. When we come back, he's talking about Anthony Davis, and he's talking about how he has so much to prove, even more than Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I want to play that when we come back. I think that's a great conversation that ties in, obviously, to the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN. All right, so big news for the day. This came out around, I want to say right around 3 o'clock or so. 15 women who previously worked for the Washington organization, obviously the football club, they're in the process of changing their name. We'll see what it is. Have alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former scouts and members of owner Daniel Snyder's inner circle. This is coming from the Washington Post, so that was reported earlier today. The reality is this is going to be an ongoing story. I've mentioned this a couple times. You know, Dan Snyder has never been an owner that I felt was doing things out of the kindness of his heart. And what I'm referring to there is a week ago, there's a press release that comes out for Washington talking about the name change, but it's really more just paying attention. I know one of the first reasons on there was talking about their sponsors. Okay, well, obviously this is all just about money. It has nothing to do with anything else. And then this story comes out. 15 women who previously worked for the Washington organization are claiming that they were sexually harassed, verbally abused by former employers, members of Dan Snyder's inner circle. I don't know where this is going to go, but I will say that it seems like the only time anything affiliated with Dan Snyder, anytime something comes up, it's negative news, it's negative press, nothing different here. Obviously a predicament situation that's got to be taken seriously. One of the things that I cannot stand is that Dan Snyder declined several requests for an interview. So he's not coming out and addressing this predicament, this situation. But that's kind of Dan Snyder. He's always been one to hide. The head coach, which is, certainly I'd say kind of probably more of a surprise, Ron Rivera. This is his first year coaching Washington. So it's not like he was hired on New Year's Day. It's not like he has 10 years with the organization or anything. He's the one that actually put out a statement. He said, biggest thing is that we have to move forward from this and make sure everybody understands we have policies that we'll follow, and we'll have an open door policy with no retribution. Plus, my daughter works for the team, and I sure as hell am not going to allow any of this. It's one thing to hear from the head coach, who hasn't even coached the game yet for Washington. It's another thing to hear from the owner. And we have still not heard from the owner. So I'm sure by the time tomorrow rolls, you tune in tomorrow morning with Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ starting at 6 a.m. I'm sure there's going to be a ton more information on that front. Okay, can we talk some Anthony Davis here for a quick second? Scottie Pippen on the jump. How big is this upcoming postseason for Anthony Davis? Scottie Pippen gives his thoughts on just how big and what he's expecting from AD.
Well, obviously, it's AD. Giannis has an MVP, on pace to get his second MVP. But not only that, he was able to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And for me, I think it's AD. I mean, I think we all realize that LeBron James had played for the last 20 years pretty much, and that he's not going to be the guy that's going to be carrying this Los Angeles Lakers team. So if the Lakers are going to go anywhere this season, I think offensively the weight has to be on AD. I think defensively he has to be the anchor for them on that end as well. I know they got guys like JaVale McGee who can control the paint, but I expect them to have to play more of a small ball with AD playing as a big. Hmm. But I think this is important for AD to really break out this season.
I'm with Barkley on this one. I'm with Scottie Pippen on this one. I agree that this upcoming playoff, there's more to prove for Anthony Davis than Giannis Antetokounmpo. Let me explain why there'd be more to prove for AD than Giannis. It comes down to this for me. Giannis, like Pippen just mentioned right there, he has won an MVP. An MVP, most valuable player, it's an amazing award. But at the end of the day, the hardware that you want that championship ring, you want that trophy. I'm sure any of these players will take a trophy over an MVP any day of the week. With all that being said, Anthony Davis is at a stage of his career where there's really no more excuses. What I'm referring to there is AD has done unbelievably well for himself from an individual basis. But now when you're on the Los Angeles Lakers and the expectations that are in front of you, the expectations of what fans are going to be expecting, what the media is going to be expecting, what Los Angeles Laker fans are going to be expecting, it's next level. I don't think the Bucks have a good enough team to win an NBA championship. I'm picking the Lakers or the Clippers, as in whatever team comes out of the Western Conference, I think is going to win the NBA Finals. Of course, I've had this conversation before. I think the Lakers are as well positioned as anybody. But with that being said, that's a lot of pressure on Anthony Davis's back. And what LeBron's been able to accomplish this year, okay, that's LeBron James. This is what LeBron has done. He's got incredible experience. If LeBron wins another championship with the Lakers, what are you really going to say? You're going to say that this just adds to his unbelievable resume and his legacy. But for AD, he hasn't had a moment like this yet. Anthony Davis, when he was in New Orleans, was never expected to win an NBA championship. And there's a reason for that. How are you going to win a championship in New Orleans when you're not playing with another star? I know DeMarcus Cousins ended up coming down there, but then he had his injury. It wasn't going to happen. But you're with the Lakers now, and you're playing with the best player in the world. Many people right now would say that LeBron's still at his age the best player in the world. And you got AD on top of that. When we say there's pressure on Anthony Davis, it's not pressure. What I'm referring to when I say pressure, the most important thing with that is it's the expectation that the Lakers are not only expected to win a championship, but Anthony Davis is supposed to play big time minutes in the postseason. And I think he will. Like I think for a lot of those that are not 100% sure, we know that Anthony Davis never been past the second round. I actually feel really, really good about the Lakers' chances this year, and a guy like Anthony Davis delivering in these big games, still being the defensive player, the best defensive player on the floor, having games where LeBron James, this is what's going to need to happen. Remember back in the days when Shaq and Kobe, it was early in Kobe's career and Shaq would foul out, go over to the sidelines. Kobe would kind of look at everybody, I got it from here, guys. And Kobe was doing this at 21, 22 years old. And he was helping the Lakers win big-time games when Shaquille O'Neal, the best player in the league, was sitting on the bench because he fouled out or he was in foul trouble. That's kind of what I think Laker fans are expecting from Anthony Davis. And it should be what Anthony Davis is expecting as well. Big-time moments coming up this year in the postseason for Anthony Davis. There's going to be times where LeBron, maybe he's in foul trouble or he needs a breather and it's a big-time game. Can AD carry the Lakers? That's going to be a fascinating question. But when I got a chance to listen to Scottie Pippen on that point on the jump, the first thing that came to my mind is, yeah, that's what I want to see. That's what every Laker fan wants to see. And that's what every Laker fan is curious about. And we don't have that much time to wait. We got just 2 weeks from now. We're going to see the Lakers. We're going to see the Clippers. And the season's going to start back up again. By the way, I'm promoting that Lakers-Clippers game as if it's the NBA championship. I'm not even sure if, you know, most of these teams or both of these teams are really going to play their guys any major minutes or anything like that. It's just going to be a ramp up to get the season started. All right, we're almost here. We know sports is on its way back. Looking forward to tomorrow's show. By the way, Ben Lyons will be with me from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Looking forward to that. LA, as always, thank you for being a part of the show. Have a great rest of your night.